In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I want to tell you a story. It's a complicated story, so you're going to have to pay close attention. In fact, it has lots of players in it, and so you might want to take notes to keep track of where we're going. Just for full disclosure, there are people in this story whom you know and love. And I have been granted permission to tell this story by those people. It starts in the late 70s when I went to college. I started college at Georgetown College, and I met quickly a man who would become my best friend. His name was Joey Perez, and he was from Pleasureville, Kentucky. Since then, he's been living in the Valley for 20 years, and he got tired of correcting people about how to pronounce his name, so he just started pronouncing it the way they do in the Valley. His name is Joe Perez now. But when I met him in college, we became fast friends. I brought him home with me. My parents lived in the same town. My father was a Baptist minister in Georgetown. He became a member of our family. In fact, my father hired him almost immediately to be his youth director because Joe played football and he played baseball and he was tall and handsome, which meant those were the three prerequisites to be a youth director in the Baptist church at the time. So Joe will tell you himself, he learned everything about ministry from my father in that particular place. And so we were fast friends while we were still in school. Joe graduated a year before I did, went to work for Georgetown College as a recruiter, because as I said, he played football and baseball and was tall and handsome. Right? I graduated a year later and moved to Texas, and in Dallas, Texas, began working in a residential treatment center there, and while I was there, I met this young lady named Sylvia. Now, there was no romantic connection between Sylvia and me, but I just couldn't quit thinking about Sylvia and my buddy Joe. This just seemed like the perfect thing. I had already been trying to get him to come to Texas with me, move to Texas, let's do this adventure together. But then I called him and said, I think I've met your wife. And he said that was enough information for him to come have an interview. So he flew to Texas, had an interview, took the job, moved to Texas, where we worked together, and within 3 or 4 months, it was very clear I was right. I had met his wife, and they were married and are 31 years married to this day with 2 adult sons. That is my only venture into the matchmaking business. So I'm betting 1,000 so far. So during that time, when he met Sylvia, then I met Chris, and the four of us just ran around together. We had a couple of years there in Dallas together. Then when Chris and I married, we moved to Sewanee, Tennessee, where I went to seminary. And then Joe and Sylvia moved to Louisville, Kentucky, where he went to seminary as a Baptist minister. And that's the last time that we have ever lived near one another. It's the last time our natural lives would intersect without a whole lot of work. But since that time, we have remained great friends. We backpack together every year, and I probably talk to Joe at least once a week to this day. Okay, so now, put that there. Now we're going to fast forward to Harlingen, Texas in 2010. In Harlingen, Texas, Joe is the director of pastoral services in Valley Baptist Medical Center, and one of his board members, named Kenneth, became ill, and he had cancer. And so Joe ministered to Kenneth and met Kenneth's wife, Carla, at the time, and they walked that walk together as Kenneth was ill, and then when he went to MD Anderson and then eventually passed away with cancer. That relationship developed as a beautiful pastoral thing with Joe and Carla and their family. Now, come to Waco in 2010, where, and you all know, Tom and Martha Clough. And Tom and Martha were in a tragic car accident on Lakeshore Drive in 2011, and Martha was killed in that accident, as you know. And Tom was injured and remained in the hospital for a while. We put Martha's ashes here in our columbarium, and we have walked that walk with Tom. Now, move down the road a little while longer, a year or so, and Tom meets Carla, and they fell in love. And they decided that they would come and talk to me about that. What Tom says now is it's because he wanted to fire me in person as his priest because he was going to get married in the Methodist Church and leave St. Paul's and go join the Methodist Church. And since Tom is sitting in the room, I can say the reason is because Carla is a better Christian than Tom. And so he went to church with Carla. So while we were talking about this, they were amazed that they had met and amazed that they had fallen in love because they had had the real deal, both of them, in their marriage. They had had lovely, long-time, beautiful marriages of trust and intimacy, and it just never crossed their mind that it might happen again for them. But it did. They met and they fell in love, and so we had a beautiful conversation about the nature of love and grief and how all that was okay, and they were navigating it beautifully. But when Carla was telling me the story about Kenny, of course it was in Harlingen, so I asked if she knew my friend Joe. She said, well, of course I know your friend Joe, and explained that whole scenario. And so we had that sweet connection, small world thing that happens so often in our lives. Now, I think we go back to about 6 months from today. I think it was about 6 months ago, Tom contacted me and said that the Texas State Cemetery had contacted him and said that because of his noted service to the state of Texas, that on the day of his death, they would like to inter his ashes in the Texas State Cemetery, along with other dignitaries in the state of Texas. And so he went home and talked to Carla about that, and they realized it had just gotten kind of complicated because they had assumed, they hadn't talked about it much, but they had assumed that when Tom died, he would come and be interred next to Martha here in our columbarium, and when Carla died, she would be interred with Kenny where he was buried. But they really like each other, and they don't like the idea of being buried in separate places. And so Tom called back the Texas State Cemetery, and he said, well, it's complicated. There are four of us. So you can imagine how long that conversation took to explain what needs to happen. Would it be possible for us to have four niches in the columbarium of the Texas State Cemetery? They took it back to the board, explained the circumstance, and for the first time that we think in the history of the cemetery, one person has been given four niches, right? So then Tom and Carla decided that they wanted to move the ashes of their first spouses to the Texas State Cemetery. So Tom called me and asked if I would disinter Martha from here, which I think means that Tom has fired me twice now. So he disinterred her ashes and sent them to the Texas State Cemetery. Martha had Kenny's ashes disinterred and sent to the state cemetery. Now fast forward this story to Wednesday of last week. Wednesday of last week, I dropped Caroline off at school, and I drove to the airport in Austin, and I picked up Joe Perez. Because Carla wanted Joe involved in this reinterment of ashes, and Tom was kind enough to invite me to be involved in this reinterment of ashes. So this is the first time that Joe and I's ministries have ever naturally intersected. I mean, if you're a man in the church, you've been on our men's retreat, you know Joe, because I've had him come lead that retreat several times. That's the first time it's been a natural thing together. So I picked up Joe at the airport. We went to a coffee shop, went over the liturgy that I kind of had to invent. You know, you need an Episcopalian if you do something like this, because we invent liturgy, right? So I kind of had to invent this, so I went over it with Joe, who's going to do what. And then we went to the Texas State Cemetery, and it was a beautiful thing. It was like a marriage almost again. Joe got to meet Tom and his family, and I got to meet Carla's family, and so here are these two families reinterring their parents in a very unique situation. We had a lovely lunch. It was beautiful to watch the interaction as people were doing this thing that no one could have ever imagined before. Then when we walked out to the columbarium where they would be interred, I am not exaggerating, as soon as we started the liturgy, the clouds parted and the sun shone down on all of us, and we laid to rest again the ashes of Kenneth and Martha. Joe spoke briefly about the nature of love, and he compared what was going on here with this marriage and these families together with a couple finding out that they're pregnant with their second child. He said he has had dozens of conversations with people in that situation who are joyful, and then they become afraid. And they say, will I have enough love for this second child? You know, we're anxious because I've poured all the love I have into this first one. So am I going to have enough for the second one? And then what everybody who's ever had that second child knows is that the love you need for the second one is poured right out of the heart of God into your heart so you have enough. Joe said that's the nature of God. It's the nature of God's love. It just pours out all the time. Pours out into the world in ways that we don't understand and we can never make straight dot-to-dot connections. It's just enough. It just pours out of God's heart and into ours. And he said he sees that's what's happening here. These two families falling in love with each other, as did Tom and Carla. I reflected on it from the perspective of the story in the Bible where Jesus is debating with the Sadducees about whether or not there's a resurrection. And they tell him that story, you know the one, where it's a sort of a fable of a woman marries a man and he dies, and then his brother marries her and he dies, and his brother marries her, and on, seven times, who will she be married to in the resurrection? And Jesus' response is, in the kingdom to come, we're neither married nor given in marriage. We're more like the angels. And I think what Jesus meant is that every relationship in the kingdom to come, in the resurrection, is like the ideal marriage. It is the relationship filled with love and trust and companionship and support and intimacy. And that all our relationships will be just like that, in the most beautiful way we can imagine. And so it felt to me like what we were doing Wednesday was a sacramental icon of what the kingdom looks like. This is what it'll look like in the resurrection when we love each other that way, trusting and loving and with no idea that we ever want to be apart. So after that, we came back inside and had another cool drink and said our goodbyes. And then Joe and I spent 2 or 3 hours just wandering around Austin, going to the haunts that we like, and found a pub and a beer, and just reflected on this whole thing. Just reflected on the miracle of the way God's love works in the world, and how it just pours out. And when we receive God's love, weird, strange connections that no one could ever see coming happen. Because it's the nature of love. You know, I know it's Good Shepherd Sunday, and I really should probably be preaching about that. I know there was a huge earthquake in Nepal, and then thousands are dead and dying because of it. I know that just in the last month, dozens of Christians have been martyred for their faith. I know that in the last month, a huge human trafficking ring that was broken up right here in Waco. And I know that Carla had to walk the walk of cancer and bury Kenneth. And I know that Tom had to recover from his injuries from a terrible car crash and then come and bury Martha. I know those things. But I also know about love. I know about love. That in the midst of all of those horrible, painful things in the world, there's love. And that love just happens. It's poured out of God's heart and into yours and mine. Because, to quote the Apostle Paul, because love is like that. Love hopes all things. It endures all things. It believes all things. Because love never ends. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.